Welcome to Radio IQ's Virginia On Demand for this Thursday, a daily podcast from Radio IQ featuring the top stories across Virginia. I'm Jeff Bossert. Virginia's drought is continuing to wreak havoc with more hot and dry conditions in the near future. And as Nick Gilmore reports, state officials are warning mandatory restrictions could be needed if the situation doesn't improve soon.
The Commonwealth's Drought Monitoring Task Force has recommended a drought emergency declaration for the Roanoke Evaluation Region, which includes the Roanoke Valley and areas to the southeast, including Bedford, Martinsville, and Danville. Local, state, and regional partners there are now working to determine what next steps might look like. Statewide, most areas are about 8 inches below their average precipitation levels for this point in the year, and the Roanoke Evaluation Region has received less than 60% of its usual total. It's currently seeing lower than usual stream flow, groundwater, and reservoir levels, too. In a statement, Governor Abigail Spanberger thanked Virginians for undertaking voluntary water conservation efforts, like limiting car washes and taking shorter showers. But mandatory orders could be issued if the situation worsens. That would include restrictions on irrigation of lawns, golf courses, and athletic fields, and the filling of swimming pools. I'm Nick Gilmore.
Virginia's Department of Environmental Quality has issued a code orange air quality alert across the Richmond metro area through this evening. That means air pollution concentrations could become unhealthy for sensitive groups. That includes children, those suffering from asthma, heart disease, or other lung diseases. The effects of air pollution can be minimized by avoiding strenuous activity or exercise outdoors. Nearly half of registered voters believe Virginia is headed in the wrong direction. That's according to new polling from Virginia Commonwealth University. A third of those who responded to the survey said inflation and the cost of living were their top concerns. The poll also asked about data centers, with 72% of respondents saying they oppose sales tax exemptions for the facilities. Just over 8 out of 10 said they believe data centers should pay additional fees to offset their high electricity demands. A couple of professional musicians are working on a documentary about the renowned jazz trumpeter John DeEarth, who recently retired from UVA. He's still making music, though.
So many people that we asked as we started doing this, what is it about this scene that makes it so unique? Sooner or later, they all said, it's John. He's just a magnet.
We'll have that story from Sandy Houseman coming up shortly. In the heart of downtown Richmond lies an area once known as the Devil's Half Acre. Also called Lumpkin's Jail, it was where enslaved people were kept before being sold to the highest bidder. The city has tried for years to recognize the site and got one step closer to that goal Wednesday, as Brad Kuttner reports.
The entire 10-acre space behind Main Street Station in Richmond's Shaco Bottom is on track to be turned into a museum and historical site honoring those bought and sold there over 150 years ago. Bert Pienaar is the Baskerville architect behind the designs.
Our charge is first to protect that which is there, to make sure that it's been preserved, and that we then can interpret it.
The designs include a pavilion that will sit above the site to offer that protection and will be built out of brick. Pienaar says that's on purpose.
The materiality of this pavilion rises out of the ground as a dark, solid brick mass, eventually finding its way to becoming a lighter, more open mass, rising from about 12 feet up to almost 30 feet. The future of the Shaco Project will continue to rise out of that space. That metaphorical coming out of the ground.
The structure will be lined with the words of those who survived Lumpkin's Jail, taken from historical accounts.
Miss Nellie Gray recounted, I remember being on the blocks as a three-year-old and being sold out of Richmond. It's real. That's our job. That's our goal.
Pienaar said he looked forward to returning to the site in 18 months for the ribbon cutting on the new pavilion. In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
Cases involving violent crime across the state dropped significantly last year. That's according to a new analysis from Virginia State Police. Murder, aggravated assault, and robberies were all down in 2025, with the number of reported rapes seeing the biggest drop at about 16% compared to the previous year. Virginia also saw a nearly 25% decrease in the number of reported hate crimes last year. That reverses the jump recorded in 2024. Most hate crimes were racially or ethnically motivated. You can see more about the statistics on our website, radioiq.org. Spotted lanternflies are invasive insects that continue to spread throughout Virginia. And if you hate stomping and squishing them, the good news is state officials say don't even bother. Instead, your time is better spent killing their favorite food source, as Roxy Todd reports.
Spotted lanternflies wreaked havoc on vineyards in Pennsylvania before they moved into Virginia in 2008. Now they're in more than half of the Commonwealth cities and counties, says David Ganino with the Virginia Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services.
We know spotted lanternfly is going to be here for the long haul. Spotted lanternfly is probably going to continue to spread until every locality in Virginia is going to have it.
But the good news is, so far, the damage to Virginia vineyards hasn't been as bad as officials had anticipated.
With agriculture in particular, we've not had reports of significant vine die-off or significant losses.
Ganino partly credits research in recent years, showing that farmers can mitigate damage by treating orchards and vineyards with insecticide as soon as the bugs show up. Of course, this adds to the cost for farmers, and chemical treatments aren't available for organic growers. State agencies have also begun partnering with the Department of Agriculture to kill Tree of Heaven on the sides of roads. This invasive plant is a spotted lanternfly's favorite food. Another way to prevent the bugs from taking over your yard is to look for and destroy spotted lanternfly egg masses. These brown globs appear in September and through the winter. Each egg mass can have as many as 50 eggs, which will hatch next spring if not destroyed. I'm Roxy Todd.
On our website, we've posted guidance for the most effective ways to kill Tree of Heaven and how it can be repurposed into firewood. There's also information to help you look for spotted lanternfly eggs and destroy them. Find all that at radioiq.org. The superintendent of the public school system in Waynesboro is retiring. Jeffrey Castle will retire at the end of the year after 14 years in the position and more than four decades in public education. School board officials say they're partnering with the Virginia School Board Association to find Waynesboro's next superintendent. Last year, jazz trumpeter John Durth, who has played with the likes of Miles Davis, Bruce Hornsby, Buddy Rich, and Dave Matthews, retired as the head of jazz performance at the University of Virginia. Now in his mid-70s, he had certainly earned a rest, but it turns out Durth is busier than ever, playing weekly gigs at Miller's in Charlottesville, headlining the Free Jazz Festival in Salem's Longwood Park Saturday, and recording a new album with a vocalist. He'll also be featured in a new documentary, as Sandy Houseman reports.
At 10:30 p.m. each Thursday, John Durth's band has performed at Miller's in Charlottesville. He's done that for about 40 years, and he's been playing the trumpet even longer, taking it up at the age of 8. As a teenager, he was on stage at the Newport Jazz Festival, and this weekend he'll headline the Salem Jazz Fest with a new vocalist, Richmond's Laura Ann Singh. Much of what they play is original, composed by John or his late wife, Dawn Thompson. She wrote songs railing against the impersonal corporate world and foretelling the climate crisis. For many years after her death, John wanted to revive her music. And this year he found a way, inviting Laura Ann to join the band. She teaches voice at VCU and has an incredible creative range, from Latin music, jazz, and rock to holiday classics.
So when we met Laura Ann, we realized she had the sound, that rich alto sound, and she has the chops and she has the same interests that Dawn had. And it has just taken off. And I'm so happy to say that her husband's freaking out over this music we're recording.
My husband grew up going to Miller's to hear John as a legend and just being like in awe. So when I started working with him in this capacity, Tim is like, I'm a little starstruck.
Seth Green and Julian Carta are also fans, so much so that the two professional musicians are doing something different, making a documentary.
This has been going on for a long time, and, you know, this is a real treasure. Like, somebody should document this. And then we were chatting with one of the members of the band, and they sort of half-jokingly said, you should document this.
The musicians, they say, are easily as good as any you might find in New York, but Charlottesville affords them creative freedom.
A lot of folks seem to play differently at Miller's than other places, and they have this sort of exploratory energy. They feel like they can try things. When I was in there last night, there was a guy from Virginia Beach who was up here on business and had just stumbled in there, and I could see on his face this feeling of, like, what have I found?
It is, they conclude, like the solar system, with great jazz musicians in dearth's orbit.
After all these years, he still comes at this with such passion, and it's just contagious. Like, so many people that we asked as we started doing this, what is it about this scene that makes it so unique? Sooner or later, they all said, it's John. He's just a magnet.
Green and Carta hope to release their documentary at the Virginia Film Festival in 2027, and they may have a new album to accompany it. In the meantime, watch for single releases on streaming platforms and a vinyl recording featuring Laura Ann with the quintet this fall. In Charlottesville, I'm Sandy Houseman.
You'll find a link to the Salem Jazz Festival's website on ours, radioiq.org. Extremely hot today and into the weekend. The forecast calls for a mix of sun and clouds today. More sun early, more clouds later. And extremely hot air temperatures ranging from 87 in Wise, 97 for the Charlottesville area, a high today in Roanoke near 95 degrees, feeling even hotter, and haze in parts of the region, including Roanoke, Fredericksburg, and the Richmond area. Tonight, partly cloudy skies, lows in the mid-60s to mid-70s across the region. A mix of sun and clouds tomorrow across the listening area. Some showers and storms possible in areas along and west of the Blue Ridge later on, especially the Wise area. Highs in the upper 80s to 97 for Danville, feeling, again, even hotter. More clouds, showers, and storms Saturday, especially by afternoon and evening. Breezy, highs in the low 80s to 95 for Richmond and Danville, feeling close to or in the triple digits as you move east of the mountains. Thanks for listening to Virginia On Demand. A little reminder, subscribe and tell your friends about it. For Radio IQ, I'm Jeff Bosser.